Welcome to Earth Eats, a show of real food and green living. I'm Annie Corrigan. Today, I'm speaking with Jim Fiedler, the man behind Fiedler Farms in Rome, Indiana. He stopped by Chef Daniel Orr's restaurant with a few briskets that were to be prepared for corned beef in celebration of St. Patrick's Day. In addition to his cows, he raises pigs, chickens, and sheep. He spent some 20 years in New York City before coming back home to his childhood farm. I asked him what it was like taking over the farm from his father.
Well, that's a good question, because when I came down here, my dad was quite old, and I came back to the farm for various reasons. And it was quite quaint, because I think all the cows, the barn was going to fall down, the cows were going to die, the tractor was going to quit, that my dad had at times, so he would die, and it would all quit at the same time. The good thing was he hadn't done anything wrong, so I had nothing to tear down and start over. The bad thing was there was a lot of work. And what he had was a herd of old English-based cattle, the smaller cattle of a mix between Herefords and Angus, and some were red, some were black. And a fellow from Purdue who was more traditional came down and said, well, if you want to get rid of this herd, I know somebody will buy it because they'd make great grass-fed beef. So I said, well, let's do it ourselves. So that was the basis that we started our herd, was on my dad's herd of these cows that were kind of considered, you got to get rid of them, they're too small, you got to get bigger cows, you got to get some of these big black Angus in and some of these Simmentals and all these big cows in. And we just decided to stay small, and we've kept the cows small, which is one of the secrets, and then we decided to do it healthy.
Healthy meaning they're grass-fed, no antibiotics.
They're grass-fed. They get no corn, no corn finishing. We don't give them corn any time in their life. Everybody says their beef is grass-fed because when they're born, they're usually on grass, or they eat grass sometime in their life, but we never give them any grain, so that gives them no starch, so it keeps all of the omega-3s and the vitamin E's and all the CLAs are fats that are in the animal that come from grass. Now, we, of course, don't give them any antibiotics, no hormones. Our ground doesn't get any pesticides or herbicides, and we're doing everything as healthy and sustainable as we can.
Talk to the people who are vegetarians or vegans because they're afraid to see animals die. They don't want to eat animals. Talk to those people.
Okay. First of all, I identify with them. We are certified humane. I think we always identify our pigs as happy pigs. They have one bad day, and I wish that's all I had in my life. But the cattle are the same way. They're out on the pasture as they're meant to be. They're not stuck in a barn. We never mistreat them. We always try to treat them gently and right and everything. So it's interesting you mention that, because I think a lot of vegetarians, when I came back to the farm, I was running a lot and I was a semi-vegetarian. I wasn't eating red meat. And it was mainly because when I was running, I felt lighter and I just was eating the bad things, which turned out to be chicken and fish, because most of them came from big factory farms that were loaded with chemicals. And the fish, you had two choices. You got the ones that were from farms that were stuffed with soybeans, or the ones from the ocean that you might get mercury in. So I identified, because I was semi-vegetarian, and I always said if I had a cook full-time, I'd probably still be, because I love vegetables so much. But I really now believe you got to have some meat on your plate. I believe that probably the healthiest thing you can eat is grass-fed beef that doesn't have chemicals. It has tremendous amount of health benefits that we won't go into, but that's what we're doing. And we're doing everything as healthy, as sustainable, and as certified humane as we can. So tell people is they have to make a choice. I never try to talk somebody into doing it. But if you're going to eat meat, then we would try to get you to say, we're trying to provide the best meat possible for you to eat.
Tell me what else you raise, grow on the farm. What could I buy from you?
Oh, my. Our pork is one of the more well-known things, because it's a fat heritage pig, the large black pig, which is not too many people raise. It's known for having a lot of fat, a lot of intermuscular fat. The chefs love it, and people always refer to it like, I haven't tasted anything like this since my grandmother died or something like that. I remember when I was a kid having it. They're pastured. They're done on pasture. They do get some grain. We just haven't found it feasible to feed them all acorns or all walnuts or or anything, but they are never indoors. They don't get any shots, no clipped tails. They're not any confined like the big operations. And what's amazing, it's like 90-some percent of the pigs today come from about eight hogs. It's so much of it is concentrated into the pig that works good in the factory, and they couldn't even live outside. Then we have some sheep, and I have to say, sheep are probably the prettiest and nicest thing, and I probably wouldn't have them if I didn't promise people I would keep them and they were on my logo, because they are very unprofitable. They take dogs, they take fences, they take all sorts of extra things, and you do think you're doing everything right, and you walk outside, and the one that was healthy yesterday is laying there dead. It's just they die just by thinking about it. But they are sweet pastoral animals, and we keep a few sheep and enough that we can supply it to our customers.
Give me a little bit of what it was like to get back into the farm. You said you lived in New York City, and then you came back for various reasons. So city boy, come back home to live on the farm. What was that like?
I'm not sure I was ever a city boy. We had a contractor who did a lot of work because the houses were falling down, and they used to call me Green Acres. You know, Green Acres is the place to be. And I'd say, give me New York City or give me the Green Acres. It's just something about going outside on the farm and being out there with all of the animals and the woods and the rolling hills there of southern Indiana along the Ohio River that just is inspiring. It just makes you feel better about being alive. And I have to say, I love New York City. I was there for like 20 years in the Wall Street area. And it was a big change, but I didn't want something in between. Give me Green Acres or give me the bright lights.
Jim Fiedler, one more question for you. What's in your fridge right now?
Oh, my goodness. In the fridge, I have some leftover rump steak that was made in an Italian beef, and it was just absolutely delicious. I have some pork. I had some ribs the other night. I might have a couple leftover porks. I got some really easy recipes. I'm going to post one that Chef Daniel's given me for liver. Nobody eats liver, and I found out the benefits of liver, so he came up with a great recipe. And I said, the only thing it has to be is simple so somebody like me can cook it.
All right, liver in the fridge. That's a new one. I haven't heard that yet. Well, thanks so much for speaking with me today.
Well, thank you. And there has to be something that we can use for liver besides making dog treats.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you.
Jim Fiedler raises cattle, sheep, chickens, and pigs on his farm in Rome, Indiana. If you want to find out more about Fiedler Farms and the products that they sell, send him an email to jfiedler@psci.net. And if you're wondering how the brisket turned out after we corned it, visit our website to listen to the podcast and print the recipe to try at home. We're online at eartheats.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Annie Corrigan.